Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What's your job here at the Victorian Space Education Centre?
My role is curriculum development and research scientist. So I'm still working on my research field in space engineering and space structures, but I then take that information and help develop it into curriculum packages for the students.
So what sort of aspects of the curriculum are you trying to highlight?
Basically anything related to space science, which is everything. So the programs will touch on some human physiology. The students do a geological field trip on Mars, so we cover geology, some astrobiology, the engineering, satellite communications, everything that comes. So with space science, that includes economics and politics and astronomy, and it's almost boundless.
Does the cross-curriculum nature of that appeal to you?
Most definitely. Now, I'm a space enthusiast from a long way back, but I also love literature and art, and I like the fact that this program and this facility touches on all those elements.
So you don't like being in a little box called science?
Oh, most definitely. Science is everything. Science is where we've noticed we're developing a VCE PE subject. And most students think that PE has nothing to do with science, and if you look at elite athlete training, it's everything to do with science. So we're looking at astronaut training. So it's been very interesting for me, coming from a structural point background, looking at all the human physiology and the impact of microgravity on the human body.
How did you get involved in this centre?
Through RMIT, through a lot of the outreach programs there. I met Michael and Philip. They actually came along to the first RMIT Space Science Expo, which I was involved in creating. So they came along at that stage. They were talking about their vision, for the building, and I think the foundations had just been laid. And as the centre developed and as the programs developed, I got more and more involved.
So what was the spark that gave you the real bug?
Oh, it's the ability to see that excitement in the students' eyes, really, seeing them realise that they could be a part of this. And even if they're not part of, even if they don't go and work in a space field that's dedicated to space, that what they learn they can apply to anything. And it really is exciting. Spaces has that wow factor, but so does all science. And when they realise that it's not a history lesson, it's not just boring textbooks, that there's a lot of discovery, that's the real payback. That's, for me, the joy.
I found at the International Space School that students weren't interested in the past. They weren't interested so much in the Apollo program. They wanted to know the future. Were we going to land on Mars? Do you find that's the case?
Definitely, because that's something they can be involved in. They want to take part. They want the hands-on. And that's where our mission to Mars, because the students, they suit up themselves, they suit up, they're taking part in it, they're the ones collecting the samples, they're the ones doing the analysis. It gives them the ownership, and it gives the relevance to them. It's not reading about an achievement that happened 30, 40, in the case of Sputnik, which we're about to celebrate the anniversary of next year, 50 years ago. So as much as the history puts it in context, they've moved on, and they can then see what impact they could have if they made that discovery, if they found they created something that made the difference to people on Earth. They can see that. I know. It's hard to sum it up in a snapshot because there's so much. And one of the things that I really like too is that I can work with the researchers and highlight their work. There's so much going on in Australia that we just don't hear about. And that doesn't mean that nothing's happening. It just means that we don't hear about it. So one of the things that I'm enjoying is actually being able to shine the spotlight on some of the research that's happening here. And give credit to that. We give credit to our athletes. I'd like to see the same credit being given to the creativity and the inspiration of the science students too.
What are some of the things, for example, that RMIT is doing?
At RMIT, well, a lot of people would be familiar with the work that James Waldie did with the Space Glove. James has continued on to do that, and actually he's worked with the Mars Society to develop our suits. There's my work is on portable, lightweight. It's an inflatable antenna. It's a very lightweight communication system, so that has uses on Earth as well as on the Moon and in space. I'm trying to think what else is happening currently. They're doing a lot of work with the Gaia mission, forthcoming Gaia mission with the European Space Agency. RMIT's involvement with the Gaia mission is looking at the European Space Agency is going to bring back an enormous amount of data. And so then the problem is then how do you use all of this data? How do you make it accessible to scientists? How can they use it to analyse, basically create a roadmap for the universe? So it's information overload. And so this is actually where a lot of the computing technology and the simulation technology, the ability to take raw data, just numbers, and translate it into some sort of workable model that you can... if anyone's seen Star Wars, being able to walk through a room that projects the stars and you can actually see the relationship between the different stars and how they're moving in relation to each other, so that when you plan future missions, you don't go crashing into something. So it's information... How do I describe it? It's making information usable. Mm-hmm. Information is only useful to you if you can apply it. So if you learn something from it and you can apply it to another problem.
Yeah, so you go through that process from data, which is numbers. And things like that, to information, which is knowing, understanding what it is and what it means, and then to application.
Yes. So it's actually the full cycle.
And that would be applicable then not just to sciences but also to business or anything.
Exactly. And this is where most of, when you talk about technology transfer, a lot of what happens, whether it be, say, we'll take the space industry for what we're looking at, what's learnt in the space environment or through the development of technology in the space industry is then applied on Earth to a huge range of other industries. And what we're demonstrating here is that the process the students go through learning about, say for example, the example I use is in our VCE biology program, we look at homeostasis, and what that is the body's reaction to an environmental change. Often students look at temperature change, we're going to look at the removing gravity. So how does the human body react in microgravity? And what effect it has is that the astronauts suffer calcium depletion. Well, it's exactly the same that happens with osteoporosis. So what they learn looking at astronauts on, say, the space station directly applies to the elderly or people suffer from osteoporosis. And so the two complement each other. So if you understand one, how you would address the problem in astronauts, you can also use to help cure osteoporosis, hopefully.
Mm. And what's going to be your measure of success of the Victorian Space Education Centre?
There'll be many measures. One of them is we're hoping to increase the number of students who go on to study maths, science and technology. One of the reasons that's our aim is because there is a shortage of scientists and engineers. We've got a technology-driven society and there aren't enough scientists and engineers to support that. So there seems to be a trend, even though we've got a very technology-driven society, there seems to be a trend that the numbers in maths and science are dropping. The other measure will be if teachers feel supported in the delivery of teaching maths, science and technology. So it's very much a partnership, making sure that the teachers... So we'll run a number of teacher professional development programs, making sure they're supported in the delivery of the science education. And so I suppose the other measure is if the students are then enjoying their classroom science more as well. And then on the other side, then with working with the universities and the industry, helping highlight their emerging technologies so that if our students graduate... and being at the forefront of the technology because they've had access to that current information, then we have that edge, I suppose. The students who graduate with an edge on their competitors, and it's supporting our industry. So that should be that flow-on effect. That's also helping to support Australian industries.
So you're not just trying to produce a zillion astronauts?
No, not at all. I know that many of the students who come here will never go on to study maths and science. But if they have an appreciation of the importance to them, if an artist can understand how they can use technology to, if you look at some of the wonderful graphic art that students do using computer packages, and they're using technology all the time, so if they have an appreciation, then that's a success. But if we do have the next budding astronaut, fantastic. But there's many, many other achievements that will come out of studying these sort of subjects.
So only 12 people walked on the moon, but tens of thousands got them there.
Most definitely. And if one of them had have made a botch off of it, it would have been a complete disaster. So it takes everything from the engineer and the scientist, to the accountant, to the economists and the insurance brokers. We need them all. And if one of the students who comes through this centre goes on to be the Prime Minister of Australia and declares that we really should be exploring this whole space thing, then that's a pretty big success in my mind.
Yes. Well, thanks for joining us on The Space Show.
Thank you very much, Andrew.